Well, good morning, everyone. Oh, we can do a little bit better. Good morning, everyone. Oh, thank you. Always feels good having my existence acknowledged by all of you. Thank you. That means a lot. Hey, take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 7 today. Genesis chapter 7 as we begin a new chapter in our text of Genesis. And while you're turning there, I'd like to share with you that my parents are here from Michigan. They're in the back there. Go ahead and wave, Mom and Dad. Del and Julie Belcher. So we're glad that they're here. And thank you for the smattering of applause. That was awesome. They're really super nice people. They're my parents, so feel free to be nice to them and greet them after the service. So we're in Genesis chapter 7 as Moses continues the account of the flood for us. And let's take a look at this entire chapter and see what God has for us today. Verse 1 of Genesis 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens, and also male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean, and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground. 2 and 2, male and female, went into the ark with Noah, as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened. And rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons Shem and Ham and Japheth and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind and all the livestock according to their kinds and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah. 2 and 2 of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. And the waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth. And the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. May the Lord add his blessing at the reading and the hearing of his word this morning. Well, we had a lot of rain last night, quite a storm, and I wish I had the kind of connections to like just drum that up when I'm talking about the flood, but it was very nice of the Lord to bless us with that. A little illustration. But maybe you're going through a storm right now in your life. All of us go through storms, and maybe you're dealing with quite a doozy right now. If not, don't worry. There'll be one shortly. It's right around the corner, perhaps. But several years ago, when Kathy and I were serving in Budapest, we ran into our own little storm. We were doing well. We had been there for about a year and a half. ministering. People were coming to Christ. The church was growing. Marriages were being restored. Everything was going great. I was at an elders meeting one night, and in the middle of the elder meeting, one of the elders said, "Well, this is going to be difficult," he says. And he then explained that for circumstances beyond him, basically all the resources that had been our provision for Kathy and I and our family to be serving in Budapest were now going to be gone. In other words, it was over. We had moved everything we owned over there, and now we're going to go home. This is especially difficult because in my life, in terms of my trajectory career-wise, I've always been in a position to call the shot, to make the choice, to make a decision. I want to do this, I'm going to go do that. And this was the first time in my life where I was told, no, you can't do that, you've got to go home. And that happened on a Monday. I came home from the elders' meeting, as my wife always would joke with me. She would say, you know, after a meeting like that, "You still have a job?" And I was like, "Well, let's talk. You know, we don't. We're going to have to go home." And so that Saturday, to add insult to injury, I am going up our hill to go to our car that we'd parked up the hill with my daughter for an early morning Saturday basketball practice. And I get to where my car is, and the car is gone. Someone had stolen our car. It's gone. No evidence, no broken windows. It's just gone. I had a really nice Opel car, but right across the street was, you know, a couple Beamers and a Mercedes-Benz, and those were still there, but my car's gone. And then I show up at church the next day, and we had just purchased a bass guitar for the church, and I had picked it out specifically because I like to play bass, and I want to make sure we had a nice bass for the church, and someone had lifted that. Someone had taken that. It's gone. And it's like, what is going on? Everything's going wrong. You ever had a storm like that? I'm going to imagine some of you have had a lot worse storms than that by a long shot. But that was a storm we were dealing with right then in that moment, and it wasn't any fun. We know that in the world we'll have tribulation. But Jesus says, "I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world," he says. All of us face difficult storms in life, and perhaps the loss of a loved one, or the loss of a career, a broken relationship, and an ominous health report, or a circumstance that's just going the wrong way. But our Heavenly Father has warned us about such things, hasn't he? Yes, he has. But in our passage today, we're going to see how our Heavenly Father has warned us about these things, but at the same time, he has offered his divine protection and provision in the midst of the storms we face. By God's grace, he offers his immediate care to us in the midst of every storm. And all we need to do is simply enter into his gracious protection, where he promises to shelter us and to lift us above every circumstance. And he will never forget us as he leads us to a new beginning after the storm. Well, we've gone back to the beginning here in our study of Genesis, and we've seen how the story has unfolded, this account of humanity where Adam and Eve sinned against God, and God addressed the serpent, promising that a child would come from the woman who would destroy the evil one once and for all. And we've seen the evil one now attacking the seed line over and over again. Adam and Eve have two children, Cain and Abel, and of course, evil one corrupts Cain, and Cain kills Abel. But the seed line doesn't go through Abel. The seed line goes through Seth. So the descendants of Seth intermarry with the descendants of Cain, and now the whole race has been corrupted. And again, the evil one, he thinks he's got his way here, but God intervenes. He intervenes with a flood to destroy all of mankind because of how violent and corrupt everything had become. And now God redeems, God saves, God sets apart Noah and his family for his purposes of redemption for all humanity. And by the way, this particular account, this flood account, it's not just a story. These are real events that took place, we believe. Real events that took place in history. Every ancient people group has an account of a great flood. Virtually everyone, go check it out. The Chinese in particular have an incredible account of the flood. Matter of fact, they had built a replica of the ark way before we did down in near Cincinnati. And by the way, if you haven't been to the ark experience, I encourage you to go there. It's really fantastic. My daughter has worked for the Creation Museum, and at one point she's been able to be on top of the ark, walking on top of that thing. It's huge. It's actual size, you know. It's huge. 1 cubit equals 1 cubit. Go check it out. It's fantastic. But this is a real account about real people going through a difficult time. And if there was a worldwide flood, what would we expect to find? We'd expect to find billions and billions of dead things buried in sedimentated rock all over the planet. And what do we find? We find billions and billions of dead things buried in sedimentated rock all over the planet. We do. There's evidence for this. Huge coal fields, billions and trillions of cubic metric tons of coal that was carbon life that had been sedimentated. Oil fields, shale fields. It's all there. All the evidence is there. And it's all over the planet. And we're kind of without excuse on the reality that God judged the world before. And he'll do so again. But today we're longing to find peace in the midst of the storm. And today I have 4 truths from you from this passage. But we need God's help. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we desperately need your help as we approach your word. Lord, there's so much in here, and we need to hear from you today. Some right now in this gathering are going through great difficulty and need a touch from your hand. Oh God, we ask that you would move in our hearts, touch our minds, help us understand what you have for us. Open your word to us by the power of your Spirit, we ask, that we might be different, that we might be changed through your work in us, in spite of us. By your grace. So Lord, thank you for this moment. Help us not to miss anything that you might have for us today. We pray all this in your Son's wonderful and awesome name. Amen. If you have your sermon notes outlined, here's the first truth that comes to us right from the text. God has offered us his divine protection and provision. God has offered us his divine protection and provision. First of all, here he's provided protection for ourselves. In this case, he provides protection for Noah. Look at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark. We'll stop right there. You, Noah, get to go into the ark. We see that Noah is one who gets protection from God by God's provision. And as we've seen from last week, this protection is offered to us by faith. And it's the same case for Noah. It's by faith that Noah is saved. Hebrews 11:7 reminds us of this. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, don't miss that, in reverent fear before God, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes, how? By faith. It's by faith we are saved. And so Noah has protection for himself. We too, through our own faith in Christ, can find the same protection. Faith is what matters in the midst of our storms. And the question is this, will we trust God or not in the middle of it all? You'll recall how Abraham was childless and was waiting for the promised seed that would redeem the world. But in hope against hope, in his old age, it says, and Abram believed the Lord. He had faith in God. And he, that is God, counted it to him as righteousness. Righteousness comes by faith. And now the Lord Jesus calls us. He calls us to receive the same protection. In Matthew 11, Jesus says to all of us, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Are you hearing this? God wants to offer you protection. Jesus says, I want to give you rest. And by the way, isn't it true that when I'm finally protected, that's when I can finally rest? I don't have to fight anymore. I can rest in the Lord once and for all. Instead of fighting him in the midst of things, or trying to fight the circumstance in my own strength, God has offered his divine protection and provision, protection for ourselves. And secondly, protection for our household. Did you see this? And the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Protection for our households. Apparently from Scripture, we see that households matter to God. Last week, we considered Acts 16 passage where Paul and Silas had been in jail and there was an earthquake, right? And the doors are flung open and the jailer thinks that everybody's escaped, but they're still there, having worshiped all night. And the jailer, it says in verse 29 of 16, calls for light and rushes in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" By the way, what a great question. What must I do to be saved? And they said, "Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. Apparently, households are important to God. This concept of favor toward a household shows up 5 more times in the book of Acts and at least 1 more time in John's gospel and over again in the Old Testament. Now, I'd like to remind you that this is not a guarantee for salvation for other members of a household, but rather a principle that if there is one believer in the household, there is a strong likelihood that others will come to Christ too. Case in point, my grandparents. It's great my mom and dad are here today, but my grandparents, my dad's mom and dad, who we affectionately called Grammy and Gramps growing up, what a story they have. What a testimony. They were both working at a candy manufacturing plant in St. Joe, Missouri, and during the Depression, and they met and they fell in love. And he was a window washer and she was a secretary. And so they got married and they started going to church and everything was going great. They're both going up the ladder at the business, and they're both going up the ladder in terms of the church, and she's teaching Sunday school and he's getting in leadership. Everything's going great. And one day, my grandfather came home from a church meeting and said to my grandmother, "You know, there are more honest people in the world than in this church. I'm never going back. I'm done." And he was done. He wasn't going to go back. You can imagine my grandmother, who is a very faithful, devout, born-again believer, hearing this. In her mind, she's thinking, well, surely God's going to deal with them. You know, the Lord chastises those whom he loves, so surely, you know, bad things are going to happen. And nothing happened. Year went by, another year went by, and, you know, we're expecting that God's going to, you know, bring the hammer because he's rebelling against God, and nothing happens. Matter of fact, he keeps going up the ladder at the business, at the candy plant. It's like Willy Wonka. You know, he starts as a window washer and he ends up being vice president of the company. And that's a crazy story in itself. Incredibly blessed and has no regard for God whatsoever. 15 years go by and my grandmother finally realizes, maybe I've been praying about the wrong thing. Maybe I should be praying for his salvation. Maybe he never, ever knew Christ. So she changed her prayer and started praying for her husband, praying that he would come to Christ. She prayed another year. 30 years later. How long is this going to take? 30 years for that household. Well, that's a long time. One day he came home from a business meeting over the weekend and came home on a Saturday and walked in the house and said, "What time is church tomorrow?" "I got saved this week." She about fell over. You can imagine that. He went over to the liquor cabinet and poured the liquor down the drain. I knew my grandfather as a believer. And he was a great testimony to me. But what a journey. What a faithful woman who prayed earnestly for her household. She had claimed this passage, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved and your household. And, you know, I know there are people here who have loved ones who don't know Christ. Oh, keep bringing them before the Lord. Keep praying for them. Keep showing them Christ. How long will this take? Well, maybe years, but maybe in a moment. God is faithful. He's offered us his divine protection and provision for ourselves, for our households. And on top of that, he provides, he gives provision of shelter, food, and clothing here for Noah. Verse 2, take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, and the male and his mate, and the pair of the animals that are not clean, and the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. And so we see that God provides shelter. God provides food and clothing. God provides for the future of worship through these clean animals, extra clean animals that will be sacrificed when the flood is over. Provision for the animals and the birds and food and shelter for them as well. Is God your shelter? Is God your refuge? Are you seeking him this morning? The psalmist has incredible words for us today in Psalm 91. I'm not going to put it on the screen, but I want you to listen to this. I want you to hear God's word to us today about his being our refuge. He is our shelter. And by the way, I don't feel bad about reading scripture to you. All that has been written here has been written in such a way for us to hear it read. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Are you hearing that? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, I want to be in his shadow, don't you? I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions. And under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord your dwelling place. Are you hearing that? Have you made the Lord your dwelling place this morning? The Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him, God says. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Have you made the Lord your dwelling place? Is he your shelter in the midst of the storm? Whatever calamity you're going through right now, whatever difficulty, whatever billows are coming at you, is he the one you're dwelling in? Are you resting in him this morning? He offers protection for ourselves, for our household. He offers shelter, food, and clothing. Today, God is offering you peace in the midst of your storm. The invitation has been extended to you through Christ. And the call is to enter into his peace, come into his sanctuary. His peace is offered to all those who believe. Have you put your trust in him? Will you accept his clear invitation for protection and provision and ultimately salvation through Christ? God has offered us his divine protection and provision. Secondly, God has warned us about his just wrath to come, hasn't he? He's warned us about the just wrath that's coming. Verse 4, he warns Noah, right? For in 7 days, God says, I will send rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, And every living thing that I have made, I will blot out from the face of the ground. That's a clear warning. Noah, you need to go into the ark. Here's what's going to happen. And we also have been warned, haven't we? Yes, we have. Jesus himself reminds us about Noah in Matthew 24:37. Jesus says, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. There's coming a time where I will come again. For as in those days, in Noah's days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man." Are you unaware today? You've been duly warned. There's a coming judgment. He's coming again. He judged before through water. This next time will be through fire. God has warned us about his just wrath. What do you mean, his just wrath? What's so just about it? God is holy, 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 and we're not. We are rebellious, full of sin and contempt for our God, our Creator, and we are worthy of death. The wages of sin is death, Scripture says. And by the way, the only way we can even fathom a glimpse or an understanding about what grace and mercy is to understand God's wrath, that we don't deserve even another breath. But by his grace, through Christ, everything can be different if you put your faith and trust in him. God has warned us about his just wrath to come. Judgment is coming. Will you be merely swept away, or will you be safe in the loving arms of God? God has offered his divine protection and provision. God has warned us about his just wrath to come. Thirdly here, we need to enter into God's gracious protection. This is not complicated. We need to enter into his gracious protection. Verse 6, Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean and of the birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, two and two, male and female, what? Went into the ark with Noah as God had commanded Noah. We ourselves need to enter into God's gracious protection just as Noah did. Noah entered. Noah's family entered. The domestic animals entered. The wild animals entered. Have you entered into God's provision? Have you given your life to him once and for all? The writer of Hebrews talks about this in Hebrews 4. Again, I'm not going to put it on the screen, but I want you to listen. It's a long passage, but listen, because it's awesome, okay? Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, lest of fear, lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. See, this is what we're talking about. We can enter into God's rest. That's what we're called to do, to enter in. For good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them. Why? Because they were not united by faith with those who listened. You see, we find rest in the hearing and the listening to the word. For we have believed, for we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, that is, some can enter the rest, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter. Why? Because of disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day. What day? Today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. I don't have to work for my salvation. Jesus has done all the work. I can now rest in him. So let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Are you hearing that? We ought to be striving to enter the rest by faith, that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Let's hold on to Jesus, because that's all we have. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know, I don't know what time you're in right now. I don't know if you're in a crisis. I don't know if you've got a storm going on right now. But he does. Have you entered into his rest? Have you made him your dwelling place this morning? He's warned us about these things. He's offered us protection and provision. We desperately, all of us, need to enter into God's gracious protection. Paul writes to the church in Philippi, do not be anxious about anything. Whatever's going on in your world, don't be anxious about it. Really? Paul, are you crazy? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Ready? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here again, we see this idea of what protection brings. When we're under God's protection, we've already seen that that brings incredible peace, but it also brings rest to us. He grants us rest and peace because when we're finally under his protection, we can finally put our guard down, and we can rest in him once and for all. We need to enter into God's gracious protection, just as Noah and his family did. They entered in. Lastly here, don't miss this. God has offered us immediate salvation. You're like, okay, great. I'm all about the rest, Brad. I want that. I need that. Where do I sign up for this? Right now. It's immediate. It's right now. You don't have to wait. God has offered us immediate salvation, just as God offered immediate salvation to Noah and his family. First of all, we see the promise that God will protect you. And after 7 days, in verse 10, the waters of the flood came upon the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month. And on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened. And we go, man, where did all the water come from? I would suggest to you it came from day two of creation when God made a water vapor canopy and he just precipitates it. And so the waters of the deep burst forth and the waters in the heavens are released, precipitated, and now here comes the water, 40 days, 40 nights. You know, we just had like one big day of rain yesterday and Chicago's like, oh, I got to push water. Just one day. Try 40 days of that. And everything's underwater, water, water, everywhere water. And rain fell upon the earth 40 days, 40 nights. Verse 13, on the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. And they and every beast according to its kind and all the livestock according to their kinds and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature, they did what? They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. Don't miss this. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Oh, praise God for that. Because if the door doesn't shut, water's going to be in the boat, and down they go. But God closes them in. God closes us in. The Lord shut him in. Even right now, if you've put your faith and trust in Christ, you've been shut in. But by the loving arms of God, he's holding on to you and will never let go. You know, I've given the illustration of, you know, if I want to take my little girls when they were younger, you know, across the street, you know, and I'm holding their hand to go across a busy street, and here we go. Am I going to let go? Am I letting go? Even though they might want to get away, am I letting go? No way. I'm not letting go of that hand. That's how God has you. He's not letting go. God will protect you. And secondly here, God will lift you above your circumstances. Verse 17, the flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. And just as the ark was lifted up with all of its contents, people and animals, God lifts them up. God also purposes to lift us up out of our circumstances, the difficulties, the dangers that are around us. And the water prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind, everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life, died. And he blotted out every living thing. Why? Because he is a just God that was on the face of the ground. Man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, they were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. God will lift you above your circumstances, and he will sustain you just as he sustained Noah and his family. God will protect you. He'll lift you above your circumstance. Thirdly here, don't miss this. God will remember you. Now we turn to chapter 8. We have a few verses to look at here in chapter 8. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. And by the way, this verse 1 in chapter 8 is dead center in the flood account. It's right in the middle of it. It's beautiful. And what does it say? But God remembered Noah. Everybody, but God remembered Noah. This is a huge theme throughout all of Scripture. God's purposing to remember those who are his. Being remembered is so important, isn't it? We see how God remembered Noah. God remembered Abraham. He remembered Rachel, didn't he? And even to the thief on the cross, the thief cries out to the Lord Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. No one wants to be forgotten. No one likes to be uninvited, right? You know, everybody else got the invitation. You didn't get one. You're not happy, right? Well, I didn't get one. Why? You feel you were forgotten. You were overlooked. You meet someone and you spend some time with them, and the next time you see them, they've forgotten your name. I met Cora today by name. I've seen her before, but now I know Cora's name. And then Will right behind her. Now this morning in first service, I totally muffed that because I forgot the guy's name, so it was horrible. Very embarrassing. But I'm human. I can forget things, right? But God never forgets. God won't forget who you are. God remembered Noah. God knows your name. God knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what you're longing for and what you need. And God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. And just as we saw in chapter 7 how the floodwaters came up, now we're going to see the floodwaters come down. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed, and the rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. And at the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat in modern-day Turkey. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. And in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. At the end of the 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him to the ark. For the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. And he waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth a dove out of the ark, and the dove came back to him in the evening. And behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. I bet you Noah is just beside himself. This is awesome. There's something growing out there. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth a dove, and she did not return to him anymore. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, how accurate is that, right? The waters were dried from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. He had been in the ark about a year. A year in a box with a bunch of stinky animals. God remembered Noah, and he brought the dry ground. And lastly, as you put your trust in him and you walk with him, God will give you a new beginning. And here we see God giving them a brand new world in verse 15. Then God said to Noah, go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, the birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. God will give you a new beginning. And as you give your life to Christ, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. A fresh start, a fresh slate. Everything is new in Christ. God will protect you. He will lift you out of your circumstances. He'll remember you. He will give you a new beginning. So what happened in Budapest? The car had been taken. The bass guitar is missing. I've been told to go home. In the midst of that storm, we're pretty upset. But you know what? The people rallied at the church, and they were able to support us one additional year. We got one more year of ministry there by His grace. But then we were called home. And by the way, it's through that calling, through our being called home, that has brought Kathy and I here, ultimately. You see, we probably would have just stayed in Budapest indefinitely. But because of God's work, He's brought us here. And now, you know, at the time we thought, what are you doing, God? And now, in light of the fact that we're here, we go, okay, we get it. We understand what you're purposing to do. And we marvel at the reality that we can even be here with you. And we're so thankful to be here. You, this church family has blessed our family beyond measure. You have no idea. We're so thankful to be here. But it's all been what God has done. In spite of us, His goodness, even though I thought I was in a really bad storm, He ended up giving an incredibly wonderful new beginning in ministry. Our Heavenly Father has warned us about the wrath to come. He's told us about it, hasn't He? But at the same time, He's offered His divine protection and provision in the midst of the storms we face. By God's grace, He offers His immediate care to us in the midst of every storm. We need to simply enter into His gracious protection where He promises to shelter us and lift us above every circumstance. He will never forget us as He leads us to a new beginning after the storm. He'll never forget you. Would you please stand as we close our service? Before we pray, my simple question for you this morning is, are you finding peace in the midst of your storm? And like I said, maybe you're like, well, I don't have a storm right now, Pastor. Like I said, don't worry, they're coming. Won't be long. But will you be ready? Will you stand firm in Him? Who else around you is in a storm right now? Who do you see floundering that you need to reach out to bring out of the dangerous waters, to bring to safety? Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your guiding hand in our lives. Lord, as we sang earlier, you are sovereign. You're sovereign over everything. You're even sovereign over the storms. And you have purpose in the storms that you bring into our lives to grow us, to mature us, to conform us to the image of Christ by your sheer grace toward us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for those who are here today, I'm mindful of the reality that it's possible there's someone who's outside of the boat, someone who's not under your protection. And Lord, we realize that time is running out. If you're here this morning and you are not in Christ, you're in a dangerous position. You're in a dangerous place. You need to enter in. You need to enter into God's provision. That happens through faith. I encourage you to invite Christ to be your Savior even right now. Invite Jesus into your heart and your life. Ask Him to forgive you for all your sins. As you turn from your sins, repenting from the direction you are going, turn to faith in Christ and enter in and find peace, find rest, safety. Lord, for the rest of us who are in Christ, we thank you for the beautiful example of Noah, of how he demonstrated his faith so well through his obedience. And Lord, may we do the same as you grow us and mature us through every storm. But Lord, help us to be mindful of those around us who might be floundering, who might be going down, for those who have not entered in. Oh God, help us to reach out to them, to bring them along with us, that they might enter into your rest, that they might find you as their shelter. Shelter from the living God. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for your truth this morning. Burn these truths into our hearts and our minds and our lives that we might not just hear these things but walk in them. And now unto Him who is able to keep you even from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen.